Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and Life Coach Wendy Dillard here. Today is Thursday, September the 13th, 2018, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, your second daily dose of happy for the day. And we hope your day's going happily right along. Lots of happy things are happening around here, Wendy. I've been working rather diligently on trying to improve our numbers and how we present ourselves on our website. And you were very, very helpful with some testing you did for me. And all of it adds up to that, plus what our listeners are doing, because we've been asking our listeners to post stuff about loatoday.net. And it's all adding up to it's working. I can't give you exact numbers because I haven't put an aggregate together, but we're somewhere around 75 to 100% higher than we were about 2 months ago, 3 months ago. How's that for you?
Wow.
Yeah.
That's cool. Thank you, listeners, for getting the word out.
Yeah. More and more people finding out about it. Every time that happens, I get a good feeling inside, because that means more and more people are getting a daily dose of happy twice a day. And I just think, I kind of like imagine what happens as that keeps multiplying geometrically over time, you know?
Well, more happiness equals a better world.
It does.
Yeah. More happiness means people that we are in line with at the grocery store might start to be happier than they were before.
Right.
They might smile. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of that day just after Christmas. I think it was just before Christmas, this past Christmas, when Louise and I were at the grocery store, and everybody was being so nice to each other. I mean, really going out of their way to be nice, and I was noting it on a podcast at the time.
Like holiday nice.
Yeah, right. That kind of, like, super, super nice. And I was thinking, why doesn't that happen throughout the year? Well, you just projected, why not have it happen throughout the year? I like it. Mm-hmm. I like it a lot.
You know, what we think about produces how we feel. And, you know, Christmas for many people creates a lot of joy and a lot of happiness. And so during that season, they're feeling those thoughts. They're feeling the feelings of happy because they're thinking the thoughts of happy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then over time, you know, the holiday is behind them and life goes back to normal and the kids go back to school and people go back to their jobs. And then they start focusing on things that sometimes they're not as happy. Mm-hmm. And that's how come then their feelings are not as happy. And that's what they're projecting out into the world. So if you know, if we have something that perpetually keeps us thinking and focusing on things that feel good, then we'll continue to project feelings of happiness.
Right.
And then it kind of spreads.
Because then there are people like my wife who tells me a few days ago that it's only 3.5 months to Christmas.
Looking forward to it already.
Absolutely.
That's cool. Well, I'm going to say that today we're broadcasting, you know, obviously from your studio, but I'm sitting in my treehouse.
Your treehouse?
Yes. Let me tell you what my treehouse is.
Oh my goodness.
Well, I have a giant maple tree. It's about 3 stories high, right outside of my bedroom window. And yesterday I was on the phone with one of my friends and I was sitting on my bed looking outside. I had the blinds open on both, you know, the two windows that are kind of next to each other. And I was just staring into the abyss of my tree, which I have to tell you, I do quite often. But I had such awareness of how much joy staring into this tree gives me. If there's always a little bit of movement, even if there's not a lot of wind. So it's like just watching the branches waft up and down, you know, as the leaves move in their beautiful splendor. And if it's a really windy day, it's even more energetic and exciting. And I realize that, you know, I don't get out of the house as often as many other people because I don't work outside of my home. But, you know, when I'm sitting looking at this tree, I feel like I'm in a treehouse because I'm surrounded. I mean, it's so close to me. Or so close to the windows that it blocks out everything else. I can't see the houses across the street. I can barely see anything except for the tree. And it really makes me feel like I'm in a treehouse. So I decided I wanted to sit on my bed today and look into my treehouse so I could feel like I'm in the treehouse while we were broadcasting.
That is great. Wow. I don't know. There are kids who have tree houses. I don't know many adults who have tree houses. That's really cool.
Well, and the nice thing is I don't have to go outside where it's still hot in Texas. It's True. Still humid. The sun is still shining. The bugs are still out. I get to avoid all that while I have a ceiling fan over my head, a lovely air conditioner blowing towards me, and I'm looking out into the beauty of nature. And so this to me is like the perfect treehouse.
This is actually this is a 5-star treehouse.
You've got it.
I love it. That's great.
As I sit here drinking my lemon lime sparkling water. I mean, nothing can get better.
That's fantastic.
Because, you know, I've talked before about how creating an environment can be very soothing and very relaxing and very exhilarating to one's being. And sometimes the environment is the people you hang with, and sometimes it's where you're, the room that you're in. And, you know, I love home decor, and I used, because I was a costume designer, doing home design is like an easy peasy thing for me. So every single room in my house has a different feeling. And lots of times I walk around my house and go, what do I want to feel? And I sit in that room. And so today I'm sitting in my treehouse because I just wanted to feel the bliss of nature.
So when is your 5-star treehouse going to get its own concierge?
Oh, it already has it.
Oh, it does?
My inner being.
Oh, yeah. So, okay. My bad. Sorry about that.
That's okay. There's nothing. I do not go for want. While I'm in my treehouse, everything I want is available to me.
That's fantastic. I love the perspective, because perspective is everything. And what you basically have done is created a perspective of what you want it to be, what you like to think of it as. And so it has become that for you. That's the ultimate in perspective, really.
Well, you know, Abraham or Esther and Jerry, when he was alive, they built a real treehouse.
They really
in
did.
Their yard in San Antonio. And it was about, I want to say it was like 3 stories high. And it had all these like rope switchbacks. So, you know, they didn't have to like take a ladder to get up to it. And there were like all these different levels. And she would bring her laptop out and she would do writing and bring her tea. And she had all sorts of things in her treehouse. And as she described, or as Abraham described Esther and Jerry's treehouse, I used to think, I want a treehouse like that. I want a treehouse like that. Well, I don't live on a huge property where I can literally build a treehouse like that. But you know what? I have a treehouse. And
right.
If I want a laptop here with me while I'm sitting on my bed, I can. And I just choose not to.
I like
to just look out the windows. Yeah.
I don't watch this stuff. Louise watches it, but occasionally I'll just see what she's watching as I'm in the kitchen or something. Isn't there a show on TV, one of these do-it-yourself type shows, where there's a guy who goes around and builds custom tree houses for people?
Now, that's possible. I watch a lot of those home improvement shows and building shows, but if that one's on the air, it's not on one of the channels that I watch all the time.
Oh, okay.
I know there's barnwood builders where they take down old barns and salvage all the stuff and rebuild.
Yeah, she watches that one a lot.
Yeah.
This is one I think I only saw her watching once or twice, and I was pretty sure that's what they were doing. And they were, from what I saw, it was like they were building like almost real houses in trees. They were just such, you know, intricately designed and detailed houses with every appointment you could possibly want in a treehouse. But they were fabulous.
There's a show about building yurts that I have seen them build a yurt around a tree. So maybe that might have been an episode you saw.
It could be. What is a yurt? I don't even know.
I don't know if I know how to define it, but a yurt is a circular or a cylindrical shaped building.
Okay.
And it creates this base, and it's wrapped in like canvas. Or some kind of, I mean, it's waterproofed canvas, so it doesn't have actual, like, construction. It's not made of 2x4s.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's not made of walls like you and I live in.
Right.
And it's usually something in a more tropical area where they can, like, pull up the canvas walls to, like, let the wind blow in.
But
they're all built very cylindrically and very small.
I'm pretty sure what I saw was actual wood building, you know, like they were building with wood. So,
the treehouse ones, Yeah, I mean, those are, I've seen are wood, but I don't know the name of the show.
Yeah, I have no idea. But I figured if nothing else, you know, if you could kind of extend their concept a bit. Maybe you end up on a TV show. Who knows?
Who knows?
So how goes the new business? I almost said the new digs, but you're in the same digs you were in before. It's just you're using them differently.
Well, I have some new awareness and some new ways to think about it. I was remembering back, might have even been a year or so ago, talking to a friend of mine who worked at my previous job. And she and I have remained friends even outside of my corporate thing. And we were talking about retirement and what does retirement mean? And we both kind of agreed that, you know, most people think of retirement as leaving the job structure and now you get to do whatever you want. You finally have the time to do, you know, travel, read, visit friends, visit family, etc. And I said to her, you know what, when I exit this corporate job, I will be in retirement. Now, this is something I forgot about until today. I said, I will be in my retirement, but not the way the average person thinks about retirement, because I have no intention of ever stopping the process of creating income because I love creating income. But I will be in the phase of my life where I have the freedom to do whatever I want and however I'm guided. And I do recognize that is where I am now. I'm living in the freedom to do whatever I want and be guided to do so. And the freedom piece feels so good.
What a great place to be.
I mean, there's no worry here. There's no guilt. You know, most people, when they retire from their job, they start drawing from their 401ks or their pension or whatever kinds of savings that they had for retirement. The cool thing for me is I'm not drawing on any financial fund. I'm still creating income, you know, and I'm not worried at all for money. And that doesn't mean that all of a sudden I've gotten 100 zillion million new clients. What it means is I have such incredible faith and trust that my inner being has guided me towards something that will continue to be income producing for me while I'm enjoying the freedom and being guided.
So you you can do things like hang out in your treehouse.
I'm hanging out in my treehouse.
Yeah.
So I will tell you, for the last 2 days, I kind of haven't gotten out of bed. And the reason I say that is because I have been hanging out in my treehouse. I've been reading, I've been talking to friends on the phone, and I've been taking lots of naps in between, because for me, when I read a book and it's really impactful on, wow, that's a new way of thinking, I like to take a quick nap, 10 minutes, 15, whatever my body wants to do, because it kind of locks that new concept in place for me. And that's a practice I've done most of my life.
It sounds too like the decompression process has evolved. I mean, at one point you were just sleep. Now you're just kind of napping and you're involved more in the world again. So you've left a lot of the stress behind, maybe even all the stress behind. If you've left all the stress behind, well done.
I mean, I still feel like I'm in a state of rejuvenation. Another way I was thinking about it today, it's like I'm at the best spa in the world. But not the kind of spa or maybe like, you know, how some people like in the movie Eat, Pray, Love, you know, she went to like a retreat center and she had meditation and all sorts of specific guided activities. The difference is I'm not being guided by a guru. I'm being guided by my inner being. And I eat the food that feels right. I take meditation breaks when that feels right. I sleep when that feels right. I pick up a book and I start reading for a while. That feels right. I pick up the phone and call somebody when that feels right. And I feel as though I'm regaining a part of myself that I had kind of put away for a while. This is the part that just is creative. This is the part of me that can relax. I've been doing a lot of breathing, purposeful, deep breathing. I've always known that was a good thing to do, but I've always felt like, oh, I don't have the time for that breathing crap, you know. But I find myself sometimes, even if I'm lying in bed at night, you know, watching TV, I'll just take about three or four or five really deep breaths and notice, wow, that's so relaxing.
Nice.
So I'm making new connections with my body, with my bodily sensations, of knowing what it feels like to be relaxed versus stressed. I still feel like I'm needing, like I said, a little bit more of the rejuvenation, but I'm also getting a sense that I'm going to start to come out of my house and go about more often.
Mm.
I was telling Rhonda, my friend, a story yesterday. Actually, it was a reoccurring dream that I had from the time I was 5 to literally my mid-30s.
Mm. Wow.
And it was all about me joyriding in the car at
Ooh.
Night. The rest of the world was asleep, except for me, I was like on this highway that had a sense of like I was on the Las Vegas Strip.
Okay.
Now, I lived in Chicago, so we didn't have any such thing, but I must have watched something on television that gave me an image of what a Las Vegas Strip was, but just tons of activity. And Rhonda kept saying, oh, that was you out and about joyriding. And then we kind of coined that. And I said, yeah, I'm feeling the desire to start joyriding again, just getting out and about, being with people, you know, getting to where the activity is. But not yet. But I see that coming. I see that coming. So, oh, and then the other part of it that has been so incredibly cool is, you know, I used to be a personal development junkie where I went to all sorts of live seminars, and I feel like I have encapsulated myself in the best personal development seminar I could have ever asked for.
You mean in terms of what you're doing now?
Yes.
Ah.
'Cause I'm talking with Rhonda, I'm going through, you know, while we're talking, because she's a coach and I'm a coach, we're like, it's interesting because we don't ever plan it, but it's like all of a sudden most of the call will be about me and I'm getting one breakthrough after another. And then the next call will be about her and she's getting one breakthrough after another. And then I'm being led to certain books that I'm reading or certain programs to watch. And like today, oh, I had some mega breakthroughs.
Like what?
Well, let's see. So, you know, I've talked before about, you know, being overweight and having that be an issue since I was like in the one digit.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't feel the obsession over it anymore. And there's so much of me that has changed, but that subject kind of came back into my awareness. Like, okay, we got Project X, the career, it's underway, it's moving. I have such a knowing that like the romantic partner in my life, is moving into place. So I'm like, okay, that leaves Project Body. Where are we with this one? You know? And so I've been just kind of asking some questions, and I had watched, I don't know if you've ever heard of a woman named Jeanine Roth.
No,
but I remember first learning about her on an Oprah, and the other day I was watching a Super Soul Sunday of Oprah, and she had Jeanine Roth on there. And I've read Jeanine Roth books for decades, and they're all about losing weight, but not in the traditional sense. It's more of a spiritual something. And so there's a book called Women, Food, and God. And she believes that food is a microcosm for our entire life and our connection to our spiritual being. And so I watched her, you know, on Oprah. As a matter of fact, I just saw it a couple months ago, and then it reran again today, this week. And so I watched it again. And this time I was ready to hear what she said. And she made a comment about how sometimes people who choose food as their addictive thing, they choose food when they just have such a, in their soul, like they feel despair, don't know what to do, don't know where to go, and they think it'll never get resolved. And there was something about that thought that really lit up for me, like, I relate to that.
I think a lot of people would relate to that. I mean, that's probably a fairly common phenomenon, I would think, given, you know, the mental
yeah.
state of most of the world.
And so I thought about that, and I went, well, most of my life doesn't seem to reflect that feeling of, like, complete despair and thinking that there's no resolution.
Right.
But I did resonate as in, like, I believe there's a part of me that still is playing that out. So anyway, I've had her book I read her book many years ago. It came out in 2010, and I went and pulled it off the shelf the other day on my bookshelf, and I looked at it, and I felt drawn, like, yeah, start reading that. And I did, and it's like, literally, I could only read about two pages at a time, because each page would have such a huge level of epiphany for me, and most of it I read today is like, whoa. But I asked the question about that feeling, and I didn't get there right away, but all of a sudden, I had another awareness of, and I think I've talked about this before on the show, how I felt like all the women in my, the matriarchal women, my mother, my two grandmothers, and my great aunt, I felt like I was the subject of the majority of their conversation when they all got together at family functions. Like, they all were like, what are we going to do about Wendy? Oh, she's gaining weight. What can we do to help her? And, you know, what strategies do we use? And how do we change her behaviors? And I saw that this morning. So I'm sitting in my bed in my treehouse, right? And I just get this image. I have to close my eyes. And I got this image of these four women just sitting. And I'm not even in the room, but I have awareness of it. And I just, what I heard inside, and I felt like my inner being just shared this with me, there's an elephant in the room. And so that got my curiosity. And I went, so what's the elephant in the room? And I realized it was me. Like, they were projecting all these images into the center of the room as though I was sitting there. And I was the elephant in the room. And they were projecting all their fears about their body image and their weight, etc., onto me. And I went, oh my gosh, I'm the elephant in the room. And, you know, this is me sitting in my treehouse this morning, just, and I'm having this sense of, I've never perceived the circumstances this way. And so I just kind of was, you know, me and my inner being, I'm like, what do I do with this? And I felt my inner being saying, take all of their projections and hand them back to them so you no longer are holding them. So I literally was picturing myself as a pink small elephant in the middle of the room. And I was just handing each person back all their own preconceived ideas of body weight, body image that was theirs. And I was having this understanding, none of that stuff is about me. I'm a perfect little girl. I'm growing up in a normal body. And they're projecting all this on me. So then it was like magic. And I say this because I wasn't guided to do anything. This is just what happened in this visualization, okay? This beautiful little pink elephant who had now handed back all these projections to all the women in my life, all of a sudden morphed into a beautiful white swan. Now, what's cool about that, Walt, is I've used the swan metaphor, and I've had friends use the swan metaphor about me ever since I was probably in my 20s, saying, Wendy, you are a beautiful swan. I even have a girlfriend who bought me a beautiful ceramic swan that I still have today. Because she said, that represents how I see you. You're a beautiful white swan. And so I thought it was cool how this elephant turned into a swan. And now I had awareness. I was watching this swan just sitting in the middle of the room. And I just kind of said to my inner being, now where do I go? And it was, there was just a sense of, you're free now. Go anywhere you want. And very gracefully, the swan started flapping her wings. And she flew out of the room. And it was, there was just this knowing that, like, I'm not a white, I'm not the elephant in the room anymore. I've now become the white swan. And then, again, like magic, because I didn't do anything to make it happen, the next thing I did is I, or the next thing that happened, is I saw me as a little girl, not as I really grew up, where I saw myself be overweight, I was really slender. And then I'd all of a sudden, boom, I'd like a movie, I'd morph into another scene in my life where I was a couple years older. And I was like this skinny beanpole. And what's ironic is I was just talking to Rhonda yesterday about how my niece is getting married in a month or so. She's the one they called Little Wendy because we had photographs when we were each 4 years old and nobody could tell the difference. We look so identical. And I've often said, her body is really my body. And she's a skinny beanpole. She's the skinniest person in my whole family. And I'm like, that's really me. How she got my body, which she didn't get it. But it's like, I look at her and I go, that's who I really am underneath all the facade of the weight. That's who I really am. And so in this dreamlike, fantasy-like, magical-like visualization I was having this morning, I was being guided to different segments of my life. And I could see myself as this slender girl growing up into a slender teenager, growing up into a slender adult. And I took myself all the way to my age today. And I've never, Walt, ever been able to imagine me being in a slender body. That was, you know, people would say, oh, imagine yourself being thin. Couldn't ever go there. That image was never available to me. And today, I not only imagined it, I literally replaced the overweight images of me with this slender image of me from childhood all the way to today. And when I tell you this, this is a personal transformation that feels incredibly awesome. I don't have I don't see a vision internally of me as overweight anymore. I see myself as slender and beautiful and thin. And that's really cool. And so to me, this is the best personal transformation workshop I've ever attended because the guru is my inner being. That's who's been guiding me. And that was just one of the three breakthroughs I had today. But it started with that one. Are you still there? Are you on mute? Did I lose you, Walt? Well, I hope the show is still going because I loved telling that story. And I'm hoping that what I shared with the audience, with our listeners, gives a level of hope of what's possible when you follow your inner guidance.
Yeah, it's fantastic. It's really remarkable. And thanks for sharing it too. It's great. It makes me wonder what comes next, you know, because I mean, it's like you've opened the gates.
Oh, many more things. I'll just share this one concept that I got from the book. And it's so interesting because I read the book many years ago.
Oh.
And I remember reading it going, Yep, heard that. Yep, I've learned that. Yeah.
How often do we read a book like that, right? I mean, a book, we're skimming through it. Yeah, yeah, that looks good. Oh, yeah, yeah, sure, it makes sense. We don't actually read the thing.
I read it, but I wasn't ready at that time to receive what was in it for me.
Sure.
But I'm ready now. One of the other things I read talked about the concept that, you know, most people are trying to heal themselves, or if somebody has, you know, addictive, obsessive behaviors with alcohol or workaholism or, you know, food or gambling or any kind of addictive personality, it's because we're all trying to fix something. And no, we don't want to take the time to actually work on us.
Mm-hmm.
We just, it's like if we have this, okay, so like for me, I have the, oh, I'm overweight, I need to fix that. I've actually been obsessing over fixing that. And that is a perfect illusionary substitute for what it's really about. Because it's really about the lack of connection to self. And oftentimes I've thought, I'm broken. There's something wrong with me. And in this book, Janine says, you're not broken.
Mm.
And I had to just turn, just like put the page, move it away from me and just sit with that. I'm not broken. I've never been broken. None of us have ever been broken. We just sometimes forget how whole we are.
It's a message we all need to hear on one level or another. I mean, not just, you know, because of health or weight issues, but I mean, in so many areas of our lives, we are our worst enemies. We're the ones who beat ourselves up the most. And hearing that message, that's a message we all need, I think.
Well, and you know, for somebody who has an addictive substance, in the moment, let's say I want to grab some Cheez-Its, but I'm not even hungry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the appropriate moment to stop and to breathe and to say, I know I'm not hungry for food. What is it I am hungry for? Now, I say that like I'm a guru of this. I'll tell you, that's where I get stuck. That's where it's like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. I'd rather just eat the Cheez-It. And what I think is happening is the elephant in the room scenario that I explained,
mm-hmm.
where there was this deep, dark place. Well, actually, you know what? It wasn't the elephant in the room story, but the elephant in the room kind of, as that loosened, I went to another story. You want me to tell you?
Sure.
Breakthrough.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's do that.
So the next one, I saw myself a teenager sitting on the edge of my mother's bed, and she had like already been lying down, ready to go to sleep. And I come in and going, hey mom, can I talk? And she's like, sure. So I'm sitting on the edge of the bed and she's laying down on her pillow, and I'm sad. And I'm wanting to know when I'm going to get a boyfriend. I don't know. I might've been 14, maybe
mm-hmm.
15.
Yeah.
And I remember this happening on a number of occasions, like maybe three, maybe four times, where I just felt like all my friends were meeting and starting to date, and, you know, or at least they were flirting. And I just felt like nobody was paying enough attention to me for me to have that experience. And I just felt like, what's wrong with me? And being that I grew up in a Christian home, it doesn't surprise me that my mother guided me towards, well, you know, read the Bible. Well, you know what? I'm a kid and I'm saying I'm hurting, and saying read a Bible, which is 7,000 million pages deep and doesn't tell me, you know, not even like a scripture or like go to Romans, blah, 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 blah. None of that. Just the answer's in the Bible. God will lead you. And I'm like, yeah, that just didn't satisfy me as a kid. And then when I kind of kept pushing, asking for more, then she would tell me, and I say this because it scarred me for years. She'd say, well, you know, boys like thin girls.
Oh, dear.
Well, that didn't help me. I was overweight. And it's not like that issue was going to get resolved overnight. And then she went on to tell me, not only do boys want skinny girls, but pretty girls that we have makeup on. Now, I normally wore makeup anyway at that time, but she set me up to believe that the only way I could ever attract a man is if I'm skinny and I wear makeup and I make sure that my hair looks pretty and I'm wearing nice clothes.
Well, wasn't that just nice of her? Oh, my.
Yes. So, unfortunately, that was one of the things I had to undeal with
yeah.
later in life, especially when I did get married. And our second date was an impromptu thing where he's like, hey, can I come over? And I said, well, I'm not dressed. How long will it take you to get here? He goes, oh, I'm across the street at a payphone. So I was like in a t-shirt, shorts, no makeup, hair up, you know, hair in a ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
And months later, I remember talking about that. And he goes, I don't remember that at all.
Oh, that's
and
funny.
I said, you didn't think to yourself, oh, my God, she was really pretty on our first date. And now the second time I see her, she's not so pretty. He goes, no, you were gorgeous. And I thought to myself, my mother lied.
Yeah.
That was not true, because he didn't even see that I didn't have makeup on. I was like, wow. And I was still overweight. And he proposed. So I'm like, well, none of those things were true. But it took me till I was 40 to figure out none of that was true.
Well, okay. I'll contradict your mother one step further, actually, because I'm one of those rare males who actually prefers women without makeup. I really dislike makeup, and I know that makeup is really big these days. I mean, the young women are all, you know, they all wear the same gothic look, is what I call it. But I mean, I just like the way women actually look without the makeup. So sorry, you know. Mom, you're wrong.
But,
that's not what happened.
But in the 50s, when she was dating.
Yeah, yeah.
That was, I think, appropriate. And I think she was giving me very outdated, you know, information.
Well, in the 50s,
anyway,
all the women were wearing blue eyeshadow. I mean.
Absolutely. And poodle skirts.
And poodle skirts. Yes, right.
So anyway, that's kind of to give a little bit of background. But, you know, today when I was sitting in my treehouse bed, I wasn't like reliving all that. I just wanted you to have the background knowledge of
right.
why I was sitting on mom's bed. But what happened to me is I was reading the book. I reconnected with that feeling of complete despair. I immediately saw a picture of me sitting on the edge of my mom's bed, having one of those moments, when am I going to have a boyfriend? And she is giving me all this weird information. And I made a connection, like, I did feel that sense of there are no answers to my questions. This is like, and it was huge despair. And then I heard myself, me the adult, talking to me the child as though these words were coming out of my mother. And I said to myself something like, that's such a natural way to feel when you're a teenager. I remember feeling that way too. And I'm so sorry you're hurting. And I remember in this visualization feeling like, oh, that was so soothing. Wow, that felt nice. And then I went on to tell myself how I'm beautiful. You know, and I said, Wendy, you're beautiful. And boys are going to recognize it. Right now, boys are geeky and they don't know what they want. But you know what? You're beautiful. You are so very attractive. You're so very smart. You're witty. You're intelligent. You have such incredible care and compassion about people. And you know what? Before you know it, there are going to be so many boys lining up to want to go out with you. And when you start to see a line of them, don't just pick the first one because he wants you. You get to be choosy because there's so many that want you. And you pick the one that you like. And you'll know it when you know that one, because he won't like you because you're pretty. He'll know you're pretty, but he won't like you because you're pretty. And he'll know you're smart, but he won't like you just because you're smart. He's going to know that when he's with you, he feels better about himself than when he's with anybody else on the planet. And you'll know he's the right one for you, because when you're with him, you'll feel better about you than when you're with anybody else on the planet. And that's how you two will know that you're the right one. So it's okay today that you feel the way you do, and it won't last much longer. I promise there's going to be a lineup of men waiting for you. And who you are today is perfect, and you're beautiful. You have nothing to worry about.
What a wonderful detailed reframing that was. Wow. I mean, you're like high level of detail too.
And I won't say it felt real. I will say it is real.
Wow.
That changed that entire, all of the feelings and all of the thoughts that I had as a child sitting on the edge of my mother's bed, where I walked away with almost more despair than when I walked in her room, because now I went to the one that I thought would have answers for me, because my mom was like my best friend. And I thought she'd have some kind of answer that would give me relief and some soothing. And instead I walked away feeling more dejected than ever. Because if my mom doesn't have the answer, then there are no answers.
Yeah, wow, well. Right.
But today, when this played out in my imagination, it changed my reality of those previous experiences. Like, I know I no longer hold the vibrational ugh that I did before.
Wow.
Now I feel the beauty of who I am. I feel the slenderness. The slender picture came from the elephant in the room, you know, breakthrough. But I was doing something the other day where I got a breakthrough, and the affirmation that came out of it was, I'm beautiful, I'm slender, I love my body. And so I feel like that, which came, that might have been on Monday or Tuesday of this week, I feel like that was the precursor to make space for the breakthroughs that I had today. And wow, I feel like a very different human.
You've had quite the week. Different. I mean, yeah. Seriously, that's a pretty big shifting going on there.
Well, and that's why I'm saying I had no idea that when I set to deliberately create a new career, that, I mean, what I did today is not a new career, you know, I mean, it's not like me generating new income funds, that kind of thing.
Right, right.
But it has given me the freedom to take care of everything I need in my life. And I know I'm not done. And I'm excited. I'm so excited.
That's good.
Because nothing gives me more joy than doing this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
This unraveling of previous energies that don't serve me, and then reframing them with beautiful energies and thoughts that do serve me. Oh my gosh, this puts me in talk about the happy place.
So if there are listeners I can imagine lots of listeners who have had similar kinds of stories from their past and things that they wish they could let go of and so forth. What would you tell them? How can they go about getting the same kind of massive shift that you experienced? Because, I mean, that's pretty big. It's usually not easy for somebody to let go of that kind of prior history, and you've let go of it so easily. How do you do it?
Well, how I personally did it is because I have so many tools in my coaching tool bag from all the years that I've been studying many different modalities for personal transformation. I have such a solid belief in certain things. Like each one of the things that I did today literally are almost textbook processes of the tool bag that I have available to me. It doesn't mean that somebody who hasn't gone through the extensive training that I've had can't have that. But I'll say the depth of the work that I've done is because of the tools I have available and because of the coaches that I work with. So I'll be honest with you. I would say you want to get to some really big, heavy duty stuff. This is the stuff, Walt, that I call quantum leap.
Okay.
These were two giant quantum leaps I experienced
today.
They are,
yeah.
These are the kinds of things I know how to help somebody with from in a coaching session or coaching sessions. But where it starts is by being willing to go to emotional places that have been too frightening in the past. So if somebody is experiencing what I did, where I'm bored and I run to the pantry and I grab some potato chips, but I know I'm not hungry because I just finished doing the dinner dishes 10 minutes ago. I know I'm not hungry,
right,
but I want to eat anyway. If you can stop eating long enough to breathe and say, what am I feeling? What am I afraid to feel? And then take where that leads you, that will help you go to where you need to go. And I've been doing that kind of thing a lot in my life. I wasn't that successful, though, when it came to the food thing. That had such a big hold on me. And so I'll see where this takes me from here. I would imagine that because of the level of the depth of the breakthroughs that I had, I would imagine it will shift my behaviors going forward. But I'll be honest, I won't know until it happens.
Sure. Oh, yeah. Well, none of us do.
You know, and that's kind of how every breakthrough is. It's like, you know, it felt good. You know, you get relief. How it adjusts your behavior in the future, you don't know until you actually see it. But I know I had huge breakthroughs, and I know I will definitely see some positive change. And if I don't get all the change that I'm looking for, I'll keep feeling into what's still not working for me. Because, you know, I know you asked the question, how does somebody do this? Well, I'm going to go back to the same answer I probably give every time you ask the question. Start with feeling. Start with feeling. Feel what you feel. And when you feel something you don't like, ask questions of that feeling. What is it about that feeling that's so uncomfortable? What is it you're wanting to avoid? You know, what is it that you're afraid of feeling? If you did feel it, is it truly the end of the world? Because most of the time when we're adults, we're reliving childhood fears or childhood situations that it's over, it's done with. It's just that somehow a part of our adult brain hasn't told our child brain it's over because the child part of the brain is still wanting soothing and calming and convincing. But you can't access that part of yourself unless you are willing to feel the feelings that you've been avoiding.
And I would think part of that is due to the fact that so many of us are impatient. You know, we want the instant result, right? We don't want to have to spend a lot of time on it.
Right. And I'll be honest, I mean, you hit it on the head for me, because lots of times as I'm grabbing for the potato chips, I go, oh yeah, this is where I need to like stop and feel. And I'm like, oh, that's going to take longer than it is to just eat a potato chip.
A potato chip is so much more efficient.
It's so much more efficient. Or a beer is so much more efficient. Or, you know, whatever other addictive behavior there might be. I mean, if somebody loves, like, uses work as their excuse for why they don't engage in life, well, you know, where for me, I'll grab a potato chip. Someone else might go, well, you know, I might as well get some work done tonight. I'll go back to my computer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody has to connect with their own stuff. But I do know that the answers and the relief is available to all of us. Now, if you want a faster path to that, getting a coach is absolutely the way to go. Getting a life coach who's just, quote, a life coach may not be the ticket. And the reason I say that is because the purpose of actual life coaching, I was reminded of this. I was watching something the other day. I was reminded that in the life coaching space, a life coach is intended to help ask questions for you to come up with your own answers. Now, I am a life coach, but I'm also a personal transformation coach because I have personal transformation skills. And I will take a person into what I'll call the source event or the origin of where a certain behavioral pattern or dynamic actually began, or where somebody is stuck in their childhood and couldn't mature beyond that point because they got stuck. That's what my skill sets. I mean, I'm skilled in multiple things, but that to me is the one that's like the biggest, baddest, bestest, is the stuff I talked about today that I did for myself. That's what I can do with other people. But you know, like I have one client, she's not ready. She needs that, but she hasn't been ready, and she's been covering up with all sorts of other things. And inside of me, I know this is what she really needs, but she hasn't been ready. And you know what? We're not ready until we are. And sometimes we have to experience enough pain in our life before we get ready. And sometimes we mask with other ways of self-care that cause us to feel a sense of relief, which is still masking the underlying stuff. And because you're feeling moderately good, you don't think there's anything more to do.
I would think that's where a coach would really be somebody who would come in handy at that point, because that's a place you could easily get stuck, and the coach is going to not let you stay stuck very long.
Exactly. So, you know, if ever there was a time I'm going to say, coaching, good, this is it. If you're looking for the kinds of breakthroughs that I've been talking about today, and I will be so bold as to say I'm the one to help take you to and through it and get you to the side of the, you know, life you want to be in, where life is easy, where life has a natural flow.
Well, we normally do it at the end. We normally do it at the end, but why don't you give people the information how to find you?
Okay. You can find me on my website at wendydillard.com.
Yeah.
And then either email me and say, hey, when can we set up a time to do a free consultation? Or just pick up the phone and call me. Now that I'm not working in corporate America, I'm much more available to just take your ad hoc calls, you know, and let us do a free consultation in the moment. And you'll know when you talk with me if you feel like I'm the one for you. And if you've listened to me on this radio show, you already know.
Yeah.
Or you wouldn't be calling.
Exactly. Well, that's the beauty of doing a show with co-hosts, the vast majority of whom are coaches, because it gives the listener the ability to find out what's this coach like in conversational settings. And it also gives us the ability, as you know, the show as a whole, to bring in really high powered talent to talk about the topic. So it's like a win-win kind of a situation. But you're right. That's the perfect way for somebody to find out. Is that somebody that I like? Just listen to the podcast.
Exactly. And, you know, our life, you know, we were born into this life knowing that the basis of life is freedom. And if you're not experiencing freedom, then there are thoughts that are keeping you from the freedom that not only you deserve, but you knew that you came here to live. We're not here to be imprisoned by our thoughts. We're not here to be imprisoned by our families or our jobs or our loved ones. You know, if you're in a job you hate, but you can't seem to leave it, you know, don't just leave it. Get underneath it like I did and find out what was keeping me there. And, you know, I'll just remind you, the kingpin of what was keeping me in my corporate job for so long was the fear of losing steady paycheck. But I got underneath that and went, the steady paycheck equals a safety net. And I realized that I was putting my job, making my job my safety net instead of my inner being. And when I recognized my inner being is much more secure and safe to me and trustworthy than a job, because a job, a company can go under, but my inner being never will. And when I recognized that, the last little stronghold of fear that I had that was keeping me in my corporate job was gone. And it was the next day I said, okay, I'm leaving. And I started making the announcement at the job. And I checked every single day because I gave like a month, notice. Every day I'm like, okay, is there any fear? Nope. How about today? Nope. How about today? Nope. Because my belief in me and my inner being and the way we work together is rock solid. It's rock solid. So, you know, Abraham, you know, talks about don't take an action until you've lined up the thoughts. Well, I still had fear, which is why I didn't take the action to quit my job, because I didn't want to quit my job and be in fear like, oh my God, how's the income going to show up? I waited until I worked through the thinking that had a falsehood. And the falsehood was that it was the job that I worked at that supplied my financial security. And when I realized that is not true, my inner being provides the security that I need. That was when I moved.
Yeah, that's a very big difference. Because now what you're really talking about is, where is the confidence coming from? The confidence is what keeps us going, and the confidence is what keeps us confident. It's what keeps us in that higher vibrational place. And that's what we're really trying to hold on to, is that confidence.
And all the personal transformation things that I talked about today are law of attraction based, because I knew and I have known for ages that the reason the weight has not fallen off my body is because I still had thoughts that were active and in play that were keeping the weight on. Those thoughts were called resistance. And so I knew, based on my understanding of law of attraction, that there had been resistant thoughts that needed to be discovered so that I could let them go. And I'll tell you, when I sent back all of the projections of me being overweight to my loved ones, it's like, those are your thoughts, not mine. It freed me. And all of a sudden, I no longer thought of myself as this dowdy little fat girl. I saw myself as a beautiful white swan, and I felt the feelings of a beautiful white swan. And that beautiful white swan morphed into a beautiful, slender girl. And it's like the thoughts that go with that image are completely different than the thoughts that went with the elephant. Completely different.
Yeah, very nice.
And the thoughts that I had sitting on the edge of my mom's bed when I felt like I was in despair, and if she doesn't have the answers, who does? When it got reframed, it got replayed in a way of like, oh, there's nothing wrong with me. Everything's cool. As a matter of fact, not only is everything cool, but I'm beautiful. And of course, boys are attracted to me. And instead of me just taking the only one that'll ever ask me out, there's going to be a ton of them available to me, and I get to be in control of which one I want. Whoa, those are different thoughts.
Different feelings,
too. And
those
thoughts are now producing different vibrational qualities. So my broadcast signal going out into law of attraction, woohoo, it's way different. I can't wait to see what comes back to me.
Oh, yeah,
it's all good.
It's going to be fabulous, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
Just after that kind of change, after that degree of change, how could it not be, you know?
Yeah. So now tell us all how we can get more connected with LOAtoday.net.
We should do that, shouldn't we, while we have some time left? Nice segue, by the way, I must admit. Yeah, your point is well taken, because well, we have a number of missions here with LOA today. One mission is to make sure that everyone who listens does become a subscriber so that all of the episodes come right to your phone so you can just listen easily. And it's a benefit to everybody because you don't have to go looking for it every time. It's just, oh, it's right there on the phone. Great. So that's the first mission. The second mission is to pass the word so that more and more people can find out about it, find out that, you know, they can get their own daily dose of happy and take advantage of the fact that we're here to help people, to uplift people, to help people feel good about themselves. And in so doing, actually help them to achieve their greatest goals in life and attract the things they most want to attract into their lives. So in pursuit of the first mission, if you're not yet a subscriber, take a moment to become one. It's very, very simple to do. The instructions are on the homepage of the website at loatoday.net. I've even updated it so that now iPhone users, there's a link for you to click on, and it goes right to the place where it asks you to subscribe. You don't have to go even searching for it or anything. It just pops right into the podcast software for you. So it's like the easiest possible way to go. And for those who are Android users, we're not quite to the point that I want to be at where it's just that simple, but we're getting closer. We know we can see the path. We can see how we're going to get there. We're just not there quite yet. But for the moment, it's still very possible to do. You just have to go into the Play Store first and download some sort of podcast application. There are lots of them there. We recommend two or three of them on our homepage at loatoday.net. But really, you can use any one that you find. And then once you get it, you open it up. All of them have a little search mechanism. You do a search for LOA Today, and boom, there we are. You subscribe, and you're following us, and you're getting all the stuff, all the episodes coming right to your phone every single day. And it's good for the phone. It's good for a tablet. It's good for any kind of device. It's good for iPod users, too. It works great there, too. So whatever device you're using, make sure you've subscribed. And then once you've subscribed, and this is also for our existing members who are doing it, our existing subscribers, and not perhaps as many of them as I'd like, but a lot of them are doing it now, Wendy. And that's why we're seeing really great improvements in the numbers. They're just going out on their favorite social media place and just saying, hey, I was listening to loatoday.net, or I was listening to Wendy telling about the breakthroughs she had, or I was listening to Joel this morning talking about how important it is to step outside your comfort zone, or whatever it is. But, you know, just post something like that. Because it does a number of things, but most important of all, what it does is it activates the vibration in the universe, which is what the law of attraction is all about. It activates the vibration and it reaches people who are ready for the message. I mean, you were talking a moment ago, Wendy, about people who aren't ready. Well, mm-hmm. We can't reach them and we don't really expect to, at least not today, maybe a week from now. But for the moment, you know, we're not ready to reach them. But there are people who are ready for us. They just need the vibration to send the message to them. So when you put that note out on your social media page about listening to loatoday.net, you help us reach those people so that they can find out and become listeners and subscribers and just keep adding to the LOA Today family. So there it is. There's our dual promotion for the day.
what a good job.
Well, thank
you. Know, I'm going to throw this out. I hope you don't shoot me. I noticed that now our episodes are being posted on my LinkedIn newsfeed.
Yes.
And they're being posted because they're connected to Walt, and he's one of my connections on LinkedIn.
That's right.
So if you want to connect with Walt, then our episodes will actually show up in your newsfeed.
That's
true. Which means they'll automatically show up in the newsfeed of all the people you're connected to if yep. you're on LinkedIn.
Which makes it really easy to add your comment. Yeah, because there is there's the Absolutely. Post. It's right there. All you have to just say, yeah, I was listening to loatoday.net, and you've done your thing.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, we also do the same thing with Facebook, by the way.
Become a LinkedIn connection of Walt Thiessen.
Yep. Well, the same thing actually happens with the Facebook page, because we have an LOA Today Facebook page, and all the episodes get posted there as well. So it works on any of the major platforms. But yes, you're right. It works great on LinkedIn. So this has been good. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen when we get our next report from you on Tuesday. I don't know what that's going to be, but I'm sure you'll have something.
Well, since I haven't lived out Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday morning yet, I don't know either. But you know, there's always something exciting popping up.
Then I guess we'll just have to wait. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. I look forward to talking to you then. And we hope that our listeners will keep coming back as they always do next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye for now.